Задание 1. Вы услышите отрывок лекции. Прослушайте лекцию и расположите предложенные в таблице заголовки в той последовательности, в которой звучат части текста, которые могут быть так и заглавлены.
For the last fortnight, each afternoon at 1:45, Radio 4 gave tips for anyone thinking of opening a chippy. This might seem a strange ambition to encourage on our most middle-class radio station, but supplying fish suppers to the British people has always been a means of upward social mobility. For centuries, the emblematic dish of the United Kingdom has been the nutritionally unbalanced, deep-fried meal of fish and chips, a typical British dish with an exotic history. Ever since Dickens first mentioned chips in print in A Tale of Two Cities in 1859, and Henry Mayhew cited it as the food of the poor in 1861, fish and chips has been seen as a feature of working class life. Is this still true? Well, even Chris Corbin and Jeremy King, who have created some of London's most iconic and best-loved restaurants, featured fish and chips on their menu and made it chic in the 1990s. No longer the working man's nourishment, a fish supper is now a dish for everyone, which increases its credibility as our national dish. Looking back, there's something historically weird about the link between our chief takeaway delicacy and the idea of Britishness. Claudia Roden's 1996 book, The Book of Jewish Food, The Ultimate Authority, says battered fried fish was a legacy of the Portuguese Marranos who came to England in the 16th century. Nominal Christians, they were secretly practicing Jews who fried their fish on Friday, a day when the world's Christians normally ate fish, and ate it cold on their Sabbath later that night or the next day when they were forbidden to prepare food or even light a fire. Based on information from respected artists, from Dickens and Mayhew, we know it was about this time that chipped potatoes became the invariable accompaniment to battered fish. However, it wasn't like this from the outset. Except for the aristocracy and those living on the coast or near inland waterways, Britons didn't eat much fresh fish until the coming of the railways made transporting it practical and cheaper. The first record of a fishmonger was in 1154. Potatoes had definitely arrived from South America by 1580, and possibly 20 years earlier, but remained a luxury crop until the next century. Fried fish and chipped, or sometimes jacket, potatoes were for a long time sold separately. Joseph Mollin, an Ashkenazi Jew who opened a shop in Bow in 1860, gets the honors for being the first to vend them together. Slowly but surely, as East End Jews moved gradually to North London and became doctors and solicitors, subsequent waves of immigration took over the chippies trade, and after 1945, Chinese, Italian, or Greek Cypriot cooks fried our fish. In my own Oxfordshire village, our handsome new chippy is owned by the Indian family who formerly ran our post office. So now, we are faced with a pressing question. With its clear ethnic origins and its continued production by immigrants, why is fish and chips our iconic dish? The food historian Bruce Craig once said that despite its German and Austrian origins, the sausage in a bun was the typical American national dish. For a member of a minority, eating it was a way of marking your assimilation to the country and culture. Eating and liking hot dogs made you American. It's the same for today's fish and chips, England's hot dog. They may be packaged in tabloids or broadsheets printed in Spanish, Greek, Polish, or Urdu, but your presence in the queue at the chippy makes you a true Brit.
Задание 2. Прослушайте лекцию повторно. Для каждой части выберите верное утверждение A, C. Для каждой части возможен только один вариант ответа.
For the last fortnight, each afternoon at 1:45, Radio 4 gave tips for anyone thinking of opening a chippy. This might seem a strange ambition to encourage on our most middle-class radio station, but supplying fish suppers to the British people has always been a means of upward social mobility. For centuries, the emblematic dish of the United Kingdom has been the nutritionally unbalanced, deep-fried meal of fish and chips, a typical British dish with an exotic history. Ever since Dickens first mentioned chips in print in A Tale of Two Cities in 1859, and Henry Mayhew cited it as the food of the poor in 1861, fish and chips has been seen as a feature of working class life. Is this still true? Well, even Chris Corbin and Jeremy King, who have created some of London's most iconic and best-loved restaurants, featured fish and chips on their menu and made it chic in the 1990s. No longer the working man's nourishment, a fish supper is now a dish for everyone, which increases its credibility as our national dish. Looking back, there's something historically weird about the link between our chief takeaway delicacy and the idea of Britishness. Claudia Roden's 1996 book, The Book of Jewish Food, The Ultimate Authority, says battered fried fish was a legacy of the Portuguese Marranos who came to England in the 16th century. Nominal Christians, they were secretly practicing Jews who fried their fish on Friday, a day when the world's Christians normally ate fish, and ate it cold on their Sabbath later that night or the next day when they were forbidden to prepare food or even light a fire. Based on information from respected artists, from Dickens and Mayhew, we know it was about this time that chipped potatoes became the invariable accompaniment to battered fish. However, it wasn't like this from the outset. Except for the aristocracy and those living on the coast or near inland waterways, Britons didn't eat much fresh fish until the coming of the railways made transporting it practical and cheaper. The first record of a fishmonger was in 1154. Potatoes had definitely arrived from South America by 1580 and possibly 20 years earlier, but remained a luxury crop until the next century. Fried fish and chipped, or sometimes jacket, potatoes were for a long time sold separately. Joseph Mahlon, an Ashkenazi Jew who opened a shop in Bow in 1860, gets the honors for being the first to vend them together. Slowly but surely, as East End Jews moved gradually to North London and became doctors and solicitors, subsequent waves of immigration took over the chippies trade, and after 1945, Chinese, Italian, or Greek Cypriot cooks fried our fish. In my own Oxfordshire village, our handsome new chippy is owned by the Indian family who formerly ran our post office. So now, we are faced with a pressing question. With its clear ethnic origins and its continued production by immigrants, why is fish and chips our iconic dish? The food historian Bruce Craig once said that despite its German and Austrian origins, the sausage in a bun was the typical American national dish. For a member of a minority, eating it was a way of marking your assimilation to the country and culture. Eating and liking hot dogs made you American. It's the same for today's fish and chips, England's hot dog. They may be packaged in tabloids or broadsheets printed in Spanish, Greek, Polish, or Urdu, but your presence in the queue at the chippy makes you a true Brit.
Конец первой части.